Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, all things Chrome. Hello world, and welcome to our show on Hacker Public Radio. Cast your mind back to when the Chromebook was the latest toy. Our own Ed Hewitt had bought one, so while I stand back and referee, listen to Ed and Dave Wilkins fight it out.
The Full Circle podcast is the companion to Full Circle magazine, the independent magazine for the Ubuntu community. Find us at fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast.
Well, I'm guessing that there's only one real opinion topic coming up now, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there is. I think it's going to be a developed version of what we're talking about effectively every week now, which is the wonders and magic of Google.
Ed's got his paws on a Chromebook.
Yes, I have. Very happy with it. It was an impulse buy. Well, yes and no. I was getting really excited about it since its kind of announcement that the Chrome OS will be going as a public product back in May at the I/O conference, and pretty much every weekend walking into PC World asking when are you going to get it, because it was due June 15th, I think, in the UK, but it didn't arrive until 8th of July. So I ordered it that week. It came on Saturday morning. I was very pleased with it.
So run us down the spec. Which one have you got?
Okay, so it's the Samsung Series 5 Chromebook. It's the premium model, the Nexus model, I like to call it. It's the Arctic White one.
Oh, you can call it whatever you like.
Well, the reason why I call the Nexus one is because the one that Google pushes, it's got a developer switch on it. So it's unlocked.
It's got a developer switch on it. What, you press a button and it turns you into a developer?
Yeah, well, no, it turns you into a Google employee.
you press the button and it will unlock the bootloader so you can install a different OS like Nexus does. And you can mess around with the kernel on Chrome OS and start trying to tweak it yourself. Or, you know, start maybe pulling the Nike builds from Chromium OS. It's just kind of, you know, if you just want to be a standard user of Chrome OS, you don't flick that switch. If you want to start messing with it and try and install Windows 7 on it or try and install Mac OS 10 on it, you can do by flicking that developer switch.
Why would you do that?
Just to post
that
a video on it.
That would be fairly perverse, wouldn't it?
Well, it's quite powerful hardware. It's got Intel Atom 570, I believe. I think it's the right one. Which is 1.66 gigahertz dual core processor. It's fine. Standard Intel integrated graphics, 2 gigs of RAM, a 16 gig SSD. Battery life, Samsung kind of says it's about 8 hours, but people are saying it's 11, and I've seen about 11 hours, and that's pretty damn good for a notebook, I think.
I think it's supposed to be 8 hours continuous usage, something like that. Mm. I remember reading.
Yeah, I think probably maybe full brightness and music playing all the time, maybe something like that, probably. I have compared the hardware to very much like a MacBook Air, because it has very much premium feel.
Yeah, you've said that as the excuse as to why, well, as the answer
why
to me
so
saying that it's the why it's so massive.
Well, yeah,
it's big but thin.
It's thin. It's very light. It's got the huge 12. Well, it's not huge, but on laptop standards, it's good size. It's a 12-inch screen, very much like the MacBook. It's got a very large multi-touch trackpad, the same sort of dimensions as the MacBook Air, and a full-size keyboard with each button is individual button, which has got huge spacing in it, very much like the MacBook keyboard. So the Apple patterns will be all over this notebook, I think.
Well, everybody's pushing out chiclet keyboards with island keys, so that's a bit of a fashion fad at the moment.
It is.
They are cool, though. I like those keys.
It is lovely to type on. Absolutely lovely to type on it. It's a shame it's not backlit, though. I would have liked that. And I can see why it costs £350, because I know when I was ooing and aahing over buying it, you know, I went into PC World, £180 for a bog standard Windows 7 netbook. Mm-hmm. I think to myself, it's £180 for pretty much almost the same thing. And I went on to scan, and try to configure the best PC I can for £350. And I got myself a quad i5, 4 gigs of RAM, 300 gig hard drive, and an ATI Radeon 6800, I think. So that's pretty much a decent high-end gaming machine. Yep. For the same price.
It's a middle spec gaming machine.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Mid-high.
That's pretty decent for £350, though.
It is. You can easily play Crysis 2 on that and all sorts. So, to me, it just looks completely utter stupid what I've done. But a notebook for way over the odds, for which only goes on the web. And...
Well, I'm glad you said that, Ed, because I'm sure that myself or Dave was about to say that.
No, I said it ages ago.
I've essentially done the whole Apple fanboy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It costs so much money, but I've got to have it.
Well, it's what they say in investment, isn't it? Never be last, but never be first.
Mm.
You've just been first, my man.
I pretty much have been.
You jumped on.
I think Chrome OS is going to be a fairly stable platform. I think the reason that they've released this and it's so expensive is that only people who are really, really keen on Chrome OS are going to buy it, because it's now in the limited release phase, like Google Plus was a few weeks ago. They're releasing it a little bit, so they can perfect it, and they'll eventually release sort of mass marketing versions.
Dave, I'm glad you're quite confident with the platform, because I'm not. I'm not confident to say it's doing really well, because I'm not. I'm slightly worried that maybe I've jumped too early, and I hear when it comes to May next year at I/O, they say, "Yeah, we're gonna drop Chrome OS." I think.
That'd be fairly funny, admittedly.
It wouldn't be great, because I have just spent £350 just for the operating system rather than the hardware. But what I was getting to is that I can see why it's £350. The hardware is premium; it's very nice. On the hardware, you've got 2 USB ports, just one headphone jack. It's got VGA ports. It has got an SD card slot. Even though I've got the Wi-Fi model, it has got an SD card slot, which is rather odd.
So it should.
Well, yeah, but I would have thought since it's the Wi-Fi version, they would have removed it, but they've left it in.
No, there's too many people running around with digital cameras and bits and pieces, so they had to put the SD card slot on.
No, sorry, I didn't mean SD card. I meant card slot. It has got an SD card slot, but. Mm-hmm. My model's got the SIM card slot.
Oh, right, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, of course. I heard about that.
I got mixed up, sorry. Also on the keyboard, you've got those browser-specific keys, so there's no F1 or F2 anymore. There's back, forward, refresh, full screen, Windows switcher. Yeah, it does support multiple desktops, by the way, which is rather odd, I thought. One of the first things I thought when I saw the hardware, the software, I couldn't work out why I would want multiple desktops, but...
Well, you definitely would. That's one of the things that's missing from Google Chrome. If you want to use Chrome as a desktop environment replacement, is multiple desktops, because you end up with massive clutter on a single desktop.
Okay, Dave, that's a stupid thing to say, because you've got Ubuntu, which supports virtual desktops. You open Chrome with a set of tabs in one desktop. Open a new window of Chrome in another desktop.
That's what I do.
Well, that's fine then. Well, I don't get. I still don't get.
I'm saying that it's a good thing. I'm saying it's.
Oh, right. Sorry. So that's the hardware, and the screen's really bright, and the screen's actually really nice. I've always thought Samsung doing really nice displays, and it does appear I've done on this model. The software, which we're all keen about, it does boot up in 8 seconds. It does shut down instantly, and it wake from sleep instantly. And when I took this into work yesterday and showed everyone it, everyone just said, it is just essentially Chrome. People thought it was Chrome and a few other things, but it's not. It is just Chrome. If you've used Chrome, you've used Chrome OS. That is it. There's nothing else.
Mm.
It's Chrome. It's just Chrome.
Which is why running Chrome within Ubuntu is like Chrome OS with a few extra local features.
Mm.
Which is what I'm fine with as my main laptop. As a netbook, I could be persuaded to go for Chrome OS when they get Google Docs offline.
That'd be good. Yeah, it was quite a fail, my demo at work yesterday, because I couldn't connect to the corporate Wi-Fi, and essentially I couldn't do anything. Even though I was tethering my phone, I could only get Wi-Fi in the building. So I mean, not Wi-Fi. I could only get WAP from my phone to my. And that was really slow.
Yep.
So pretty much it was a complete fail at trying to show anything off on it, because it's Chrome without internet.
Yeah, you should have tried. You should have made sure you get the internet before you did a demo.
Yeah, I don't think I'm really doing this justice, am I?
Well, no, I think we are getting the full picture of light and shade on this one, I think.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with everyone, really. I can't just say it's the best thing ever, you should all buy it.
I think most people have been saying
non-stop the past week or so, though.
I think most people would have turned against you as soon as you said you were working at Porsche, so I shouldn't worry about any of this.
But yeah, the issue I have with Chrome OS is, okay, let's imagine we live in the ideal Google world. The world as Google imagines it. Everyone uses Google forever. So I've got my Android phone, got my Android tablet, and I've got my PC running Chrome OS version, whatever it's going to be in the future, which can do all these magical things. And I got my phone is running Android, of course. And then there's my tablet. What is my tablet running? Is it running Android? Is it running Chrome OS? And which one should it be running? The idea of companies and clouds is to create the same experience, same user experience on whatever device you're using. So I think maybe in order for Chrome to really take the next step, it needs to look a bit more like Android. So the Chrome homepage, already we've got these little apps going on. We need to see as much more of that as possible.
Dave, stop doing a Steve Ballmer, please. Because
yes, and Dave's answer is Windows 8.
Yeah. Google.
He's got a good point.
Android is for touchscreen. Chrome is for keyboard and mouse. Don't get the two mixed up.
Okay. Well, why are we thinking within these boundaries? Why are we applying our ideas to the hardware when we could be applying the hardware to our ideas, always thinking the next step, you know, not constraining our user experience within the environment we've already built for it, but building an environment around the ideal user experience.
Microsoft already discovered this in the early 2000s, that putting a touchscreen on a desktop and a laptop doesn't work because you start touching your arm on the screen, it will start aching after a while. Mm. It can't be done.
Yeah, and it's also annoying.
You've got to have two.
Mr. Jobs said that we're not going to put a touch screen on a desktop for that exact same reason. Yeah. So everybody's in tune with that one.
But the question is, as I say, the question is the tablet. What's the tablet running?
It's a touchscreen, so it's going to run Android.
So why can't we make Chrome touchscreen compatible? Because it needs to have the little app.
Because it's a desktop
experience. So why can't it work in touchscreen as well?
It's a desktop app it's a desktop operating system which runs web apps. It can't do Android because it doesn't have any touchscreen capabilities. Vice versa. I don't know what you're getting at here.
Well, this is where certain people can see Google Chrome running out of road, if you like. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a single user experience, but it has different offshoots, and something's gotta give at some point. It's not a unified experience at the moment, which Windows 8 is going to be.
Yes.
The question is rather, will the tablet become ubiquitous? Because I was listening to a couple of things last week, and two different stories came up where some of the consumer electronics stores were relegating the netbooks and notebooks to the back of the shop, and the front of the shop was all tablets.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit of a fad at the moment, why you're 3D.
Well, that's the question. Yeah. Is the tablet a fad, or are we going to end up heading back to devices that have got proper keyboards on, in which case Google's got all the road it wants?
I can see a purpose in both of them, to be honest. But to be honest, for me right now, there's no reason for me to have a tablet. It doesn't. All the people I know who have tablets who do the same things as I am only have them because they've been taken in by marketing hysteria and they rarely use them for anything.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with the tablet. They are solid hardware. iOS, Windows 8, WebOS, iOS. They're all solid operating systems on the tablet,
but
and they work great. The tablet is a home device. And what do you have at home? Your desktop. What do people rather browse on their desktops? Because it's quicker. It's the full web experience. It is a fad. It's like 3D. And, you know,
I think there could be
a future for tablets. But we just need to decide what it is before we start leaping off any cliffs here.
The tablets are slowly but surely infiltrating new areas. I don't know, Dave, if you were talking to Alan on Monday, Alan Sands. He's got his tablet from work.
Mm.
He's in the construction industry, and he's getting a lot of the construction paperwork downloaded onto the tablet because he doesn't have to do an awful lot of changes to it. It's a different kind of content consumption. All he's got to do is check in and out certain construction documents as they're working through the project, but he doesn't have to do any substantial changes to it. So it's that class of content consumption, whereas as soon as you need to do any content creation, you need to go back onto something that's got a proper keyboard.
That does make sense to me. I mean, today, for the first time, about an hour ago, I desired a tablet because I've run out of money. I can't buy any books. And I need to read a load of books. So I don't really want to have to do it on my desktop all the time. I can't carry my desktop around, and my desktop's big and bulky. It's like a fixed screen. And I like reading books.
Buy a Kindle.
Yeah, but I can't afford the e-books either.
Yeah, your problem, Dave, isn't the wrong technology. It's the fact that you haven't got any money at all.
Dave, you just said you've got no money, but I'm thinking about buying a tablet. That's far more money than a Kindle.
I'm not saying I'm thinking about buying a tablet. I'm saying I wish I had a tablet, but briefly, only briefly. I only for this one purpose. It'd be handy if I had a tablet in my hand right now. I would now have a use for it. But it'd be a very, very limited use.
Even saying a tablet's good for consumption, is it though? Because it's not good for reading books on because the colours and glare are not good for your eyes for reading a book, so the Kindle's better for that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching a movie, it's far better watching on your 40-inch LCD screen rather than on a 9-inch tablet.
Oh, no question.
Playing games, I would rather play PC games, and I think most people would rather play on their Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3.
Let me stop you there.
Music, I'm probably playing through my sound system, I think, than crappy speakers on the tablet.
Here, you've said you've named four different devices. The tablet is only one device.
Mm-hmm.
But it does four of those tasks crappily.
Yeah, but that's always the problem with the multifunction tool. You're sacrificing performance for convenience. It's the Swiss Army. Yes, Swiss Army knife. There we go. In stereo.
I am, of course, playing devil's advocate here. I mean, I don't have a tablet, and I have no plans to get one. But I can see what it's for.
So exactly. to try and wind this one up before Dave disappears. Dragged by his ankles down the stairs to the kitchen. I was just about to say, when's the next significant upgrade to Chrome OS expected?
It's every 6 weeks, like Chrome. That's quite interesting, actually, because I was looking through on the Chrome OS wiki page, looking at what everyone, the plan is for upgrades. It's just funny hearing things like calculators on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that be there from the start?
Well, yeah, one would have thought so.
Well, you can use Google. You just put amounts into Google and calculate it for you.
I think basically we're going to expect to see all the advancements you'll see in the Chrome browser bundled with all the Chrome OS specific things. So maybe improved power management, fixes, some new features like a calculator.
Well, I'm looking forward to much, much, much more stuff that's going to be on the Chrome browser. And I suspect Google's ideas are the same as mine. They need to be more app-based, and it needs to be more focused on providing a replacement for desktops.
I think you're completely wrong there, because I don't think Google want the app model, because actually, the app model for phones was never meant to happen, actually.
Well, that's exactly what they're pushing. So
That happened accidentally.
It happened because they're emulating iPhone.
Apple didn't mean to happen either. That if it had Steve Jobs' way, he wouldn't have created apps. The original idea for the iPhone 1 was that we'd all use web apps as the apps, not
downloadable
apps.
Things, yeah.
And it just kind of kicked off from there. And I think even today,
It's a halfway house, isn't it? Between having entirely local apps and between having entirely web-based apps, having things like Facebook, the Android app, which is it looks a bit like a web app, but it works like it's a local app.
I've said this before, Dave, but the whole point of HTML5 and what Apple wants to do and what Microsoft wants to do and what Google wants to do is that you install the Gmail app on Chrome and then you take that same app on the phone, on your tablet, and that's the whole point. Having individual apps to work on individual platforms is going back to the same problem we've got with desktop at the moment, where if I want to use Photoshop, I have to have Windows.
Yeah.
The whole point is that with the web platform, you can use it on any device, any platform.
Exactly. And it's really, really easily customizable as well. Yeah, it's a pain that I'm being dragged away now. Oh, I had so much more to say.
Always so much. Well, go for the classic showbiz thing and leave them screaming for more.
we haven't even touched upon Google Plus yet. It's going to completely change the face of the web. I've been tweeting a lot lately about clouds, and I think I really, really think the next few years are going to see Facebook being forced to partner up with Microsoft. And no sooner did I say that they announced that they're partnering with Skype, which is part of Microsoft.
You do know 4 or 5 years ago Microsoft did buy a lot of shares in Facebook. They partnered up 4 or 5 years ago. This was already in place.
What was it, $130 million worth of investment about 5 years ago?
This is why things like Windows Live Messenger works with Facebook, because this partnership happened years ago. Keep up, Dave.
I know 5 years is a long time ago in internet years. It's like dog years. So that's what about feels like about 30 years ago now, but it did happen.
but I'm also starting to believe that I don't think Apple's cloud is going to be that great. And Apple doesn't really have any native social networking. And it's Apple has been rather chummy with Facebook as well. So yeah, I think maybe Apple will be brought on as well. And the ultimate battle will be decided, really, as far as I believe, by who can grab hold of services like Last.fm, Spotify, and Steam.
Apple have partnered up with Twitter, and Apple do have their social network called Ping, and Apple's cloud is not a cloud, it's a sync service.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. A no-name social network, not very many people use, and a non-existent cloud, but it's supposed to be a pig with a top hat and a moustache. Tending to be, I don't know.
Oh dear, I think we're getting into another couple of hours heated debate here. So that was it. We'll spare you the extra couple of hours debates we had afterwards. And just say thanks to Ed Hewitt, who left the show soon after. I don't think it was anything we said. But then again, it might have been. That's all for now, but we'll be back with the Full Circle podcast on Hacker Public Radio very soon. I'm Robin Catling, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.